This is an audio excerpt from Passions in Paris, Revelations of a Lost Diary by Rusty Blackwood. This is copyrighted material, and all rights are reserved by the author. This audio excerpt picks up partway through the prelude, with the grandchildren of Joy Witchmere having gathered to help plan her memorial and discuss things as they go through their grandmother's things. The wide stairs rose before them as they ascended the creaking steps, one at a time, the light from the flickering chandelier making their shadows dance on the wall as they climbed. A landing, boasting a massive stained glass window in burgundies and blue, greeted them halfway up, and from there they climbed the final rise, which brought them to an enormous hall with interesting works displayed proudly upon polished walnut walls. The trio stood gazing at tastefully sketched portraits of family, friends, even pets. Their eyes were also drawn to photographs of numerous houses located in different places, the largest being a huge two-story yellow brick farmhouse peeking through ancient spruce trees towering high above the landing below. "This was Jima's childhood home, CJ," Emily announced in a prideful manner. "It's a long way from here, and I don't even know if it's still standing, but I hope so. Dad has taken us there, but that was a long time ago. He grew up there, as did Uncle Alan, until Jima moved away to be with Grandpa after he found employment down here. But I think her heart always remained there, because any time she ever spoke about it, she always had the sweetest smile. As she spoke, Emily reveled in this reminiscence, and she also smiled." They walked along, eyes scanning the walls as they went. Before long, another house caught their eye, enticing Emily and Joe to exclaim in unison, "Uncle Wally's!" With a grin from ear to ear, Joe stared at the girls as he said, "That was always a fun place to go. You never knew what would happen from one minute to the next. Boy, we sure had a great time there. Remember his jokes, Em? Well, maybe you shouldn't. I mean, some were a little, well, you know, and I really can't repeat them in front of my daughter's innocent ears, but I well remember." They sure made Dad and Uncle Alan laugh, even Grandpa. They passed several open doors before coming to one, which revealed a set of narrow stairs leading to the attic, and one to a rather small bathroom resembling a French boudoir, with only three clues revealing its identity, for the appearance of a clawfoot tub, pedestal wash basin, and toilet, each in soft pink, gave it away. They proceeded down the hall, past a huge dark walnut armoire with its doors wide open, until they reached the last door on the left. It too stood open, as if to beckon them inside, when CJ suddenly realized that each interior door remained that way, enticing her to comment on this fact. With a knowing smile that made one think one should already be aware of the answer, Emily replied, "Jima liked them that way. I suppose you could say she was a tad claustrophobic, but she never liked closed doors or tight places, so she always insisted they remain open. Unless, of course, guests were staying where privacy was needed, but only then." Emily then swept her hand in a graceful manner toward a set of lace-covered French doors as she stated, "No doubt she would have had those open, too, if it weren't for the fact they lead to an outside balcony that almost hangs over the cliff. Still, I know she did on hot summer evenings to allow the air to come in from the cool water." And as she finished her explanation, she opened them to reveal the stunning vista below. The waves could be heard smashing against jagged rocks below, the recent storm having turned the usually calm lake into a raging tempest. It would be quite some time before it became passive, and they couldn't help but wonder if their grandmother would find it soothing or somewhat unsettling. They cast their eyes around the huge room until they came to rest upon an old fireplace, its ashes now cold but its mantle warm with vases of white roses, and the smiling faces of family and friends, as well as numerous pictures of a dashing young man with exotic eyes of emerald green and hair as black as ebony. On the wall directly above the mantel hung a beautifully painted landscape of a French farmhouse, surrounded by lush green vineyards with clusters of red grapes peeking through the well-laden vines. Their eyes traveled over them, following the endless rows which reached the edge of the deep blue Mediterranean. With affection in her eyes, C.J. smiled as she gazed at this desired landscape her great-grandmother had painted so many years before. "It is so beautiful there," she softly commented, her eyes tasting the flavors before them. "And I have wonderful memories of playing among the pretty vines, while dear grandpère sat reading or painting. I believed Grandma Joy would have loved to have lived there, but as long as I have memory, she has always to live here at Le Willows, and it is with both sorrow and happiness that I am to be here with you both, for what we must now tend to." Honey lemon tea quenched their throats as they settled upon their grandmother's huge four-poster bed, gazing upon two pastel pink octagonal boxes, one large, one small, both encrusted with dried white roses, which Emily had painstakingly transported from her grandmother's overstuffed closet. Looking at them, Emily hesitantly said, "I feel like we're, well, intruding upon her privacy if we open these." "I agree, sis, but it must be done if we're to know what she wanted." "I'll open them for you if you'd like," Joe suggested, his fingers gingerly removing the lid of the larger one. With intrigued amazement, their eyes fell upon a man's aged black suit, much like those worn in Victoria times by gentlemen of higher standing. Within the silk waistcoat lay a rather delicate, white lace-trimmed shirt with a high collar, now yellowed with age. It was obvious the outfit had not seen the light of day for decades, as it appeared faded with time, making them fear that it might crumble entirely if handled. And resting side by side upon the aged suit lay two old videotapes of the kind used long ago, one bearing a faded label in lavender, the other in blue. Upon closer examination, they could detect one simple word etched upon each container: "Birth" on the lavender lid, and "Ours" on the blue. Located beside the tapes was a small black velvet bag accompanied by a heavy braided silver chain, and looking at the others as if to ask approval, Emily finally removed the little pouch and gently pulled the drawstring. They could barely believe what their vision beheld, for displayed in the palm of Emily's hand was a sterling silver hair clasp, its entire center encrusted with diamonds. Shards of pink and silver fire danced before their eyes as the diamonds sparkled in the room's overhead light. "Wow!" exclaimed Emily. "Look at this! I don't believe I've ever seen this before. Jima sure had some exquisite jewelry, but I never once thought she owned something like this. Wonder how she got it." The diamonds' fire made CJ's eyes glisten, while she coyly suggested, "Maybe it was a gift from a secret admirer, you know, like in the movies." On closer investigation, Joe stated, "Yep, they're real, all right. Boy, this piece must have set somebody back a few pennies, but it's really nice, isn't it? Come to think of it, I remember seeing Grandma wear it just last Christmas. Don't you, Em?" Emily pondered in thought, then grinned as she replied, "Now that you mention it, I do. Yes, I remember asking her when she got it, and she just smiled and said she always had it. It intrigued me, and when I asked if anyone gave it to her, she again smiled and told me she got it in a very special place by someone very dear to her, but she never told me who. I'm sure she meant Grandpa. Then again, maybe not. This chain is solid silver. Wonder what it was from, or held?" Joe inquired, rolling it between his fingers, feeling the cool mineral roll back and forth. "I don't know that either, bro, but I'm sure it must have held something at one point. Possibly a pendant, or maybe a ring," exclaimed Emily, Hurrying to her grandmother's nightstand where two rings sat atop each other. She stood gazing upon a gold wedding band lying beneath another ring, also in gold, but boasting a one-of-a-kind emerald in the shape of a shamrock. Her finger quickly went to her lips as she silently mused, "Hmm." Jima did like to keep things to herself, and I guess this must be one of them, then said, "Here is her wedding band. Yet she always wore this other one along with it. Dad said he took them off her finger and laid them here after she... Well, I always wondered what this shamrock meant. Now I guess I'll never know." "We'd best carry on, don't you think?" Joe inquired, proceeding to open the smaller box. "That is, if we're to go through these things tonight. It's starting to get on, and I don't want to be too late getting back." "Grandmère Joy had quite a few old hat boxes, did she not?" asked C.J. with interest as she eyed the contents within. "That one is very lovely, and such a nice place to keep her papers and such." "Well, kids, here's her diary," Emily exclaimed, hardly believing her eyes at its immense size. "Would you just look at how thick it is? This is amazing! Jima must have been recording things in here forever." After moving a couple of items in the box, her eyes shot to her brother as she announced, "Here's her will, Joe. I'm sure it's a copy, as Dad's lawyer has the original. And look, look here, what's this?" They all watched in fascination as she carefully lifted a rather large, worn school binder out of the box. "I don't know, open it," Joe ordered, his excitement growing as C.J. added, "It appears to be an old manuscript or the like. My, my, do you think it could possibly be one of Grandmere's first novels in rough draft?" Looking closely, Emily stated, "That's what it looks like, all right. But it's so old, I'm afraid it might disintegrate if we handle it too much. But I'd love to read it." She continued to examine it along with the journal, taking great pains to handle them gently. "I think we should read this old diary first, because it appears to contain the same contents as this story, at least judging from the beginning lines." Emily openly mused, thumbing through these pages with care as she spoke. The majority of the entry titles in her diary appear to correspond with different chapter titles, so does the content, and the manuscript appears to be written in first person, present tense, as if she were there. "What about these old tapes?" Joe asked. "Maybe they've got something to do with the diary, Em, or possibly the manuscript. Couldn't hurt to have a look. What do you think?" Cradling the ancient tablets against her chest, Emily replied, "Maybe they do. Then again, maybe not, seeing they were stored away with that old suit. They could contain almost anything. Years ago, people used those kind of tapes to record all kind of different things, ranging from movies to correspondence. But whatever they contain, I'm sure it must have been very special to be kept locked away like this. I'd rather read her written words first, then later, if we still have reason to, we can have a look at the tapes. Besides, there may be no further need to intrude on her privacy. The will and diary, as well as this manuscript, might tell us all we need to know, or wish to." They all agreed to wait, and Emily gently laid the open diary and manuscript side by side upon the lace bedspread. Taking a deep breath, each wondering what the past would reveal, they gathered round and began to read.